members of the media here, but
we'll call you back when you're here.
When is that, John?
Well, while we're waiting for Mr. Burson to return, I believe we have four individuals who are going to be testifying all regarding the Port of Port Orford matters, items 30, 31, 32, and 34. They're all going to be telephonic. And I believe Mary Nielsen, item 35, she's the one who's present?
That's correct.
Yes. Okay. So maybe we'll take her first, okay, so she can get on with her day. And then we can, when we do the 30 through 34, however, they are slightly different. And the, it's my understanding, the testimony we're going to hear, staff would like us to consider all the testimony before we vote on each of them individually. So so we'll hear everyone testify. We'll ask questions of individuals on 30 through 34, and then we will consider voting on them after that. Okay, so let's bring in Ms. Nielsen.
Hey, Amy, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good.
So which one are we discussing right now?
35.
35. Mm-hmm. Page 211.
Thank you. Okay. Well, Ms. Nielsen, would you like to have a seat up here?
Yes. Yeah.
What do you have there?
That as well. Well, it's just a little more clarification.
Oh,
is that possible?
That'd be fine. Yeah, you can share that with the commissioners. It's fine.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll just read it first. And
okay. Well,
does that work? And then I have copies.
Yeah. Go ahead and have a seat. That'd
okay,
be great.
First of all, okay. Nice to meet you. I have met you before.
All right. So just so you understand the process here, how it works is we are going to hear a report from staff, from the investigator on the matter, and we may have questions for the investigator. And then at that point, you'll have an opportunity to say anything that you would like. We may have questions for you. And then after that, the commission will deliberate and go forward from there.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And just so you know, this preliminary review is just an opportunity for us to determine if there is sufficient information for us to want to proceed with the full investigation. So there's not going to be any decision today as to whether there was any violation or anything like that. It's just, do we want to proceed with the full investigation? So, all right.
Thank you.
All right, with that, staff report, please.
Thank you, Chair Sosa and Commissioners. My name is Lisa Kristen. I'm an investigator with the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. The case before you is the case involving Mary Nielsen, 19-289, and involves the Oregon Board of Certified Advanced Estheticians, and I apologize, I have a really hard time saying that word.
It's a mouthful.
It's item 35, page 211 in your book. Mary Nielsen, who is present today, is an esthetician and vice chair of the Board of Certified Advanced Estheticians. The complaint was filed by a former BCAE member and alleges that Ms. Nielsen may have failed to properly announce a conflict of interest when she presented a textbook she wrote to the board to be used by students who were preparing for the BCAE certification exam. Ms. Nielsen may also have used her position for financial gain on those same facts. It appears there is cause to believe that one or more violations of the Oregon government ethics law may have occurred. The report is in your meeting book with a recommendation to move to investigation. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for staff? Okay. Ms. Nielsen, anything you'd like to say?
Yes. So I believe there's some errors in Ms. Kristen's report, and I just want to point that out and also express, I guess, some of my own opinions about things. On page one, Deborah Mastin's identified as a former member of the Oregon Board of Advanced Estheticians. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Deborah Mastin has never been a member of the Board of Oregon Advanced Estheticians. She's never served on that board. She, on page two, the Educational Advisory Committee, identified in the report, is really actually a work group committee that was organized by the Health Licensing Office. It was composed of some members of the Board of Advanced Estheticians, which was me, and also some aesthetic educators, business owners, and practitioners. That was Deborah's position on that. A frustration for me was that the minutes and the agenda of this meeting are not posted on the HLO's website, along with all other meetings and minutes are posted on HLO's website for public access. This meeting is not available on their website. I had to do a public records request. I did that public records request because I'm asked to remember things that happened at a meeting 33 months ago. So I had to refresh my own memory. I requested that public records request. I didn't get a response back until February 3rd, which was past the date that her report was due. The public records SOS emailed me and said that they were not able to give me that information and that I needed to contact HLO directly. I did contact them directly, and they sent me a thumb drive in the mail, which again arrived at least a week after the report was due, my information was due to her. On page 4, the ABLS report from Steve Fisher is an error because the source material was never approved by the working exam committee that we were on. It was never approved by BCAE in 2018. And commission staff have already validated that fact just in her report because they've reviewed every agenda and the meeting minutes. And they were unable to identify or verify which meeting the decision was made to adopt the book, because the book was never brought to the board as an agenda item. I did send the meeting that Deborah Mastin is claiming the conflict of interest happened on April 12th. On April 13th, I sent Cerinthia Murphy, who's the qualification specialist for HLO, an email that says, "Hi, Cerinthia, here are photos of the educational resources I have. Let me know if you need any extra help. I've also included a journal article from the Aesthetic Surgery Journal that's an excellent laser theory resource. I hope you're heading into a great weekend, Mary." One of the attachments of the 7 I sent her was the book that I wrote, but I never promoted my book or encouraged its adoption in my emails. In another email to Cerinthia, dated July 11th, I said, "Cerinthia, my book is out on Amazon now. I have copies I could bring to the meeting if you think it would be helpful. See you then, Mary." She replied, "That's awesome that you're selling your book on Amazon. I'm so happy for you. The HLO will not be listing sources with the curriculum. The sourcing material will be requested by the Higher Education Coordinating Commission on the school application. If you have any questions, let me know. Look forward to seeing you on Wednesday, Cerinthia." Later that day, she sent me an additional email that said, "Hello, Mary. Even though we're not listing sources, is there any way you could bring your book for me to have as a reference along with other references I have so far? Thank you, Cerinthia." On page 9 and 10 of the report, I didn't approach a publishing company saying that BCAE needed a textbook for advanced aesthetics. My first contact with a publishing company happened in October of 2016 because I was already operating a training center for advanced aesthetics. I had developed my own material, and I had approached a publishing company back in October about compiling all of that into an edition for anyone interested in advanced aesthetics. But in addition to my, I was going to use it for my own students. In addition to being an esthetician and having a school, I'm also a published author. I have 6 books out on aesthetics that are available for purchase. I speak regularly. I am contracted with aesthetic journals to provide content for them. I did contact this commission in December of 2017 to ask for your help to craft a statement that I could read at board meetings so I could publicly declare a conflict of interest and I could avoid the appearance of any wrongdoing if the agenda intent was education or curriculum. I trusted this commission's expertise to draft an appropriate statement to protect my position. I've read that statement at numerous board meetings where any curriculum or agenda items that pertain to education have been discussed. Or there's a social media group which is called Oregon Estheticians for Fair Licensure. They began posting and reposting untruths about myself and my school. If myself or any of my staff tried to correct this misinformation, we were blocked from the group. This misinformation began to affect my school and the students at my school, and we were receiving harassing phone calls. So I sent, Deborah Mastin is a leader in that group. I sent a cease and desist letter. I don't think it's a coincidence that 4 days after she got the cease and desist letter, she filed this ethics complaint against me. I consider myself a person of high integrity. I consider myself a person who has a personal philosophy of doing the right thing, a personal service, and I really regard the aesthetics profession. I hold it in high regard, and my purpose in serving on the board has always been to serve and not advance my own personal interests. And so I really look forward to moving forward with that and having this behind me.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions? Ms. Nelson.
Yes. It's a question for our investigator.
Sure.
After hearing the new facts, does it change any of your thoughts or recommendations?
No, we have had these facts. I did have communication pretty often, actually, with your attorney, and he has provided all the information that Ms. Nielsen presented to you all today. Our focus was on that meeting that occurred, the minutes, I believe Ms. Nielsen was talking about those at first. The meeting that happened on April 12, 2017 was the primary focus of the complaint we received. And I do want to apologize for that. The identification was that she was part of the group, and it was my misunderstanding that what she meant was she was part of the board, not just an offshoot group, which was the educational committee. In any event, it was the minutes of that meeting that I accessed through, I want to say it was Cerinthia who gave them to me or got them to me. That was the focus of the complaint filed, and really that is what I focused on. I did speak with people from the American Board of Laser who had overseen the construction of the website that is used for people who are taking the certification exam. I spoke to many members of the committee, and we all realized we were talking about, you know, again, what happened on April 12, 2017 with the presentation of the textbook. Was that concern and did raise the issues that are addressed in my analysis. Subsequent in time, there were decisions made about which textbooks to place onto the actual website, but again, that's a separate issue, separate and apart in a way from what happened at that April 12th meeting. So I feel like we did have all that information, did incorporate it to into our report, and tried to address, for example, the conflict of interest statement that was read simply didn't address the textbook issue, which was the issue that formed the basis of the complaint. If you look at page 217, the statement that Ms. Nielsen apparently did read at some meetings, for one thing, she's acknowledged she didn't read it at that April 12th meeting, and second of all, it addresses the fact that she has a training center that provides advanced aesthetics education and training. Does not mention the textbook. And again, at the time this was written, the textbook, according to the minutes we have from that April 12th meeting, hadn't even been created yet. It was created from the minutes. It appears that it was created for the purpose of the test, which hadn't, again, been created at that point in time.
All right. Any other questions? Okay. All right, with that then, Ms. Nielsen, thank you. We're now going to move into our discussion amongst ourselves about how to proceed on the matter. So any discussion amongst commissioners?
I have actually just one more follow-up question. What other facts might you be interested in finding out if we move to the next phase?
That's a really good question, and I feel that that's, what, again, you know, a big part of what warrants investigation is that I did speak to many people who were involved in this because there is a pending legal matter. I was having a hard time communicating with some people who I believe didn't want to speak to me because there was that cease and desist order in place. So that was somewhat of a roadblock to effectively look at some of the issues that were raised by Ms. Nielsen and counsel. I would like to have more information about, again, the textbook at issue was presented at this meeting, and again, that forms the basis of the complaint. This textbook now exists on the website when students go to sign up for the certification exam. One of the first things they see is Ms. Nielsen's textbook on the website, and I really was trying to figure out what steps were taken to make that happen, and I was unable to do so because, like I said, there were some people who wouldn't speak to me because of the cease and desist order, but also I believe there was a lot of confusion about who exactly, if it was American Board of Laser Surgery people or people from BCAE had decided on exactly what that website was going to look like.
So we don't know who the decision makers are in determining
on the
what
textbook
to use.
Being put onto the website. I want to be real clear. That's what I'm talking about. That's one more fact that I think would be helpful in understanding this all in context. As far as the minutes of the meeting, again, hearing from Ms. Nielsen, she didn't have an actual chance to look at those or evaluate those, so it might be helpful for her and I to have a discussion about the context of those minutes, because what I have are minutes that indicate to me that there's a substantial objective basis to believe that there was a violation. The textbook was presented with the intent of having it used as a study aid for a mandatory test, a certification test. So that exists separate and apart. I don't think it would weigh into whether or not I believe there's a substantial and objective basis or would present that to you. I would stand by that, but also have additional information, which, again, it sounds like maybe wasn't available to you when you and I had discussions about this.
Thanks. All right. Any other questions or comments from commissioners? All right. I will entertain a motion then.
Mr. Chair, I move we proceed with staff recommendation.
Okay, so moved by Commissioner Burke. Any discussion on the motion? All right, roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Sartoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Saar?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiscom?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Chair Sofa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. Ms. Nielsen, thank you very much for being here. We really do appreciate you taking the time. And
well, thank you for listening to me. May I give you a copy of mostly what I've read?
Thank you so much.
You want to just you can pass it for you. I wasn't sure how many of you were going to
right.
Have.
Thank you very much. Have thank a great you. Day. Staff will be in touch with you.
I'd like to apologize to the board. I just moved outside of Silverton.
Okay.
And I miscalculated the amount of driving time from my new home. So I'll be more careful.
No problem at all, Commissioner.
All right. I grew up in Silverton. Yeah. Outside of Silverton.
Mm-hmm.
Dog's
really
water.
Mm-hmm.
It takes longer than you think.
It does. Yeah.
Okay.
On this first gentleman call, he is
yes.
A crab fisherman who... We'll be on a boat until we may or may not meet.
Boy.
Okay, this is Mr. Webb.
Mr. Webb.
Okay, well, let's give it a try, and, so we'll...
Okay, commissioners, I'm going to put you on hold and try to get a hold of Mr. Webb.
Item number 30.
This is Brad.
Mr. Webb, this is the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, and I'm going to connect
you. Good morning.
I'm going to connect you with other others on the phone. Just a moment, please.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Commissioner Sortum, are you there, Sartoon? Yes. And Commissioner Fiskum, are you there?
Yes, thank you.
Perfect.
All right, well, good morning, Mr. Webb. My name is Nathan Sosa. I'm chair of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. We really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today. So just so you understand how this process is going to unfold, we're first going to hear from our staff investigator, who is going to go over her preliminary review report. We may have some questions for her. And then after that, you'll have an opportunity to say anything that you would like to add, and we may have some questions for you. And then at that point, you'll be free to disconnect the call, and we will then be proceeding on with our own discussions, and staff will notify you of the decision. All right?
Understood.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And just to clarify for you, sir, we are not finding or determining today whether there's a violation. We're simply determining whether there's sufficient information that would warrant us proceeding with a full investigation. Okay?
Understood.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Staff report, please.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners, Investigator Myers. Items 30 to 34 are preliminary review reports for the five commissioners for the Port of Port Orford Board of Commissioners. These matters involve an executive session held on December 17th. A scheduled meeting of the Port's Redevelopment Committee somehow morphed into a meeting of the Port's Board of Commissioners, who then voted to move into executive session. The respondents all acknowledge that they could not find and did not cite the appropriate statutory authority for the executive session. The complainant, who was in the audience, did make a video recording prior to them moving into exec session. And during that video recording, it appears one poor commissioner, Mr. Webb, asked for an executive session to discuss litigation and the strength of our case. Pending litigation is a permissible topic under subsection H, but the attorney must be present. In this case, it appears no legal counsel was present. Written attorney-client communication could be allowable under subsection F. At this point, however, we do not have sufficient information to determine whether the discussion fell within this provision. The five commissioners each submitted separate responses with slightly differing explanations. Commissioner Webb asserts that the executive session was announced as a matter regarding pending litigation, correspondence with attorney, and he also asserts it involved material exempt from disclosure. Further investigation is needed to determine exactly what the purpose of the executive session was and whether that purpose was publicly announced and permissible under the provisions. We note, for example, in terms of subsection F, in a prior case involving another governing body, this commission found violations where the governing body convened an executive session under subsection F to discuss their attorney's correspondence with a third party because that was not confidential attorney-client communication. Should the commission move this matter to investigation, we would obtain the records and conduct interviews to determine what was discussed, whether they were acting on advice of counsel, and whether the board made any final decisions in the executive session.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ms. Myers. Any questions for staff? Okay. All right. Mr. Webb, this would be the opportunity for you to add anything if you'd like.
We had our general manager resign like the day before or something. We thought that we had noticed it as a special meeting. There was some confusion there. There was a lot of confusion, but the meat of the story, am I allowed to talk about what was going on in the executive session right now?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I mean, okay, yeah. So there was $1 million personal injury lawsuit against the board, and it was scheduled to go to trial the first week of January. And our general manager was going to be basically our star witness and the person who was going to sit with our attorney Ron Downs from the special districts through the lawsuit. And he called me, I believe, you know, the day before or the morning of, I'm not sure, but he said we need to make the commission aware that our case is not super strong right now, and we need to figure out what we're going to do. So inform them and tell them to think about what we're going to do. And this is a $1 million lawsuit against a court district with a $500,000 annual budget. And you know what? I may have messed up there, but this was just the purest of intentions, and I'm actually frustrated with the whole thing, to be honest. I understand your job, and I understand law, and I understand complying with the law, but this was in the truest, purest colors, and I'm frustrated. I've been serving as a volunteer for decades, and I'm sickened by this, that I could end up where I am right now over just, a disgruntled, whatever. I guess you guys have heard it all. That's all I have to say, I guess. I'm bummed out. I'm just bummed out about the whole thing. That's all. But I understand that you do have to do what you do. So that's about all I have to add.
All right. Mr. Webb, we really do appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. It is helpful for us to know where you're coming from as we decide whether to move forward or not. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Webb? Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Webb, we really do appreciate you taking the time. So if you would please, if you could hang up at this point, we'll then proceed on with our deliberations and staff will notify you of the result, okay?
Okay. All right. Thanks for taking the time to hear me. Good morning.
Thank you.
Did we
miss
the
next one now?
No.
No, actually, I think that's what we've been messing up. I think when we hang up, we end up hanging up on the other commissioners. Yeah. So that's the advice we got.
But
was
can't they see here? If he's here in person, wouldn't he be able to hear our deliberations?
That's what
they're
I was
not
thinking.
All on the same page. I mean, we could get
oh,
him back.
Oh, there's
others that were here. Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
But he technically can come back and hear our deliberations.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. which number?
Bassett. Okay, all right.
Mr. Bassett.
So, yeah, next would be number 31.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No. Okay, I am going to a conference in David Bassett.
Should we have Susan just do a very brief summary again so they understand?
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, I think they should be able to hear, everybody should be able to hear the case that we have. And they can make their comments.
Mr. Bassett, this is the Oregon Government Ethics Commission.
Yes, right.
And I'm conferencing you in with the others. Just a minute, please. Dave and Anna, are you there?
I'm here.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. All right, Mr. Bassett, good morning. My name is Nathan Sosa, and I am chair of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. We appreciate you taking the time this morning to speak with us, just so you understand the logistics of how this is going to go. We are going to hear first from our staff investigator, who is going to be discussing her preliminary review report with us, and we may have some questions for her. And then you'll have an opportunity to add anything that you would like to say, and we may have some questions for you. And then at that point, you are free to hang up, and we will proceed on with our deliberations, and staff will let you know the result, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Staff report, please.
Chair Sosa, Commissioners. Item 31 is a preliminary review report for David Bassett, one of the five commissioners for the Port of Port Orford. As I previously said, this involves the December 17th executive session. The respondents all acknowledge that they did not cite the appropriate statutory authority. Some of the respondents indicated that it had to do with litigation. Pending litigation could be a permissible topic. Attorney-client communication could be a permissible topic. We simply, at this point, do not have sufficient information to determine whether the discussion in this executive session fell within either of those provisions. The five commissioners submitted separate responses. In Commissioner Bassett's response, he asserts that the complaint is 100% valid and is symptomatic of many problems and violations found at the port. He asks the commission to open an investigation and help the port if possible. Further investigation is needed to determine exactly what the purpose of the executive session was, whether that purpose was publicly announced or permissible under the provisions. We note in a prior case that the a governing body could not have an executive session under subsection H to discuss communication with a third party. Should the commission move this matter to investigation, we would obtain records and conduct interviews to determine what was discussed, whether they were acting on advice of counsel, and whether they made a final decision.
Thank you, Ms. Myers. Any questions for staff? Okay, Mr. Bassett, this is your opportunity to say anything that you would like to add.
Yes, sir. First of all, thank you for your service, and Susan has been very helpful. Secondly, this has been an exceptionally poor year for the Port Commission of Port Orford. I've been on the commission for 7 years, and this is by far our worst situation, brought on by the crude and vulgar and inept chairmanship of Brett Webb. And he does not like to be corrected. Both Steve Courtier and myself have tried to correct his errors. He has gone in and out of executive session in a very erratic fashion. In this particular case, on the 17th of December, it's a week after, he swore at our wonderful manager, Steve Courtier, who got up and gave 2 weeks' notice. And so just a week later, we had a committee meeting for redevelopment. It started at 3 p.m. Brett Webb didn't get there until about 4:30. When he did get there, he was clearly agitated by a series of texts with Tiburon Industries, although he didn't say that. He said, I need to go into executive session. And so the error was his, but I was complicit because the other four commissioners have formed a voting bloc. And if you're going to get anything done at all, there are times you have to go along to get along. And that's not an excuse. It's just a reflection of the reality of this commission. So we went into executive session incorrectly. There was no announcement. It was as to the ORS. It was not about litigation. It was about arrearage of a lease with Tiburon Industries. And it was improperly done, and Teresa Hewlett filed the complaint, and I'm thankful that she did, because finally we might have some attention paid to the statutes. So my error was in going along to try to get along. I had no idea what the executive session was about. But just the week before, on December 10th, he did it twice to exclude people that were there as the new operator owners of Griff's Restaurant. So that's essentially what I want to say, and I thank you for an investigation here, because I think there will be some good that comes from it, and thank you for your service.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Bassett. Any questions from commissioners, from Mr. Bassett? Yes, Commissioner Burke.
I would just like to comment that I wanted to compliment the respondent on his frankness and candor. Obviously, we don't know all the facts until we have a full investigation, but I just wanted to compliment him on his frankness and candor.
Well, thank you. I'm a registered professional engineer. I served on the Oregon State Board of Examiners for Engineering and Land Surveying, Oil Fields, for 8 years. I've served in many public capacities. and sometimes it's challenging. Most of the time it's rewarding. This is the worst public service I have ever tried to accomplish at the Port Commission. Very difficult.
Any other questions for Mr. Bassett? All right. Seeing none, Mr. Bassett, at this point you can hang up. We will proceed on with our discussions, and staff will notify you of the result, okay?
Yes, sir, and thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You're getting to be quite the pro on that phone.
Don't jinx it, okay? Yeah. Okay, commissioners, I am going to conference in Tom Calvinese. Good morning, Mr. Calvinese. This is the Oregon Government Ethics Commission. We're conferencing you in now, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Anna Dave? Are you there?
Yep,
thank you.
All right.
Mr. Fiskum is here, thank you.
All right.
Wouldn't be right without you.
Well, good morning, Mr. Calvinese. I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing your name correctly. Is that right?
Yes, that works.
Okay, very good. Well, good morning, sir. We do appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. So you understand the logistics of how this is going to go. We're going to begin with a staff report. Our staff investigator is going to be going over her preliminary review report with us, and we may have some questions for her. You'll then have an opportunity to add anything that you would like to say to the record, and we may have some follow-up questions for you. And then at that point, you'll be free to disconnect the call, and we will proceed on with our discussion, and staff will notify you of the result. All right?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Staff report, please.
Chair Sosa, commissioners, item 32 is a preliminary review report for Tom Calvinese, one of the Court of Port Orford commissioners. During an executive session held on December 17th, during a meeting held on December 17th, the Redevelopment Committee marked into a meeting of the Board of Commissioners and then voted to move into executive session. The respondents acknowledged they did not cite the appropriate statutory authority. However, it does appear one commissioner asked for an executive session to discuss litigation and the strength of our case. Pending litigation is a permissible topic under subsection H. Attorney-client communication could be permissible under subsection S. At this point, however, we do not have sufficient information to determine whether the discussion fell within these provisions. Commissioner Calvinese's response asserts that the executive session was called to discuss information provided by counsel to Commissioner Webb. He does not indicate that the commissioners were reviewing written correspondence or simply advice from their attorney. Further investigation is needed to determine exactly what the purpose of the executive session was and whether it was publicly announced and permissible under the provisions in 192.660. Should the commission move this matter to investigation, we would obtain the records and conduct interviews to determine what was discussed, whether they were acting on advice of counsel, and whether they made any final decisions.
Thank you. Any questions for staff? All right. Mr. Calvinese, this would be your opportunity to add anything that you would like to say.
I heard most of what was just said, that there was a little bit of interference on the line, but I believe what was just reported was consistent with what I remember, that we were in the commission has formed a special committee on to tend to matters related to our redevelopment projects, and the chair appointed me to chair that committee meeting, and a week before the meeting of December 17th, the port manager resigned his position. And so there was a bit of, we're challenged a little bit, I'll say, in terms of process. And Commissioner Webb was stepping in to tend to a number of responsibilities that were being carried by the manager who had just departed. So I think that contributed to some confusion, and it, my understanding is that even, I think one of the other things that I think might have contributed to it is that the individuals that were in the meeting were all the court commissioners, and so when Commissioner Webb requested that we go into executive session to discuss a consultation he had just had with the court attorney, I think that the reaction to that was that it was important for us to follow procedures, and we did try to do that. Our secretary stepped in and sort of pulled up the rule book, and we followed those procedures, with the exception of not having the sort of a statute code handy. And so I think that was a place where we did fail to follow those procedures. But at the same time, it's also clear that once we did that, we were apparently at that point acting as the commission and tending to commission business. And I think that's something that we didn't fully realize that. I think what we were doing was trying to sort of deal with things as they were coming up in the context of sort of having lost our manager, and in the process, sort of, it got by us, I think, that we had, say, we were meeting as a redevelopment committee, and then we had suddenly decided that we needed to take up some urgent business as a commission. And so I can see how that, that's something we probably needed to pay better attention to that.
All right. Well, thank you. We appreciate the comments. Any questions for Mr. Calvinisi?
I guess, pardon me, I'm at my work, so there's a little bit of distraction going on here right now, but I guess the only other thing that was a little confusing in the report was that the meeting that we did have was adjourned at the close of business, and I think a little confusion in the complaint about the meeting being adjourned several times, and so that was not the case. So that's one thing that was needed to be clarified, and also that it was a meeting of the Special Committee on Redevelopment, which I was chairing, and I think the complaint had some confusion about Commissioner Webb, who's the commission president, chairing that meeting, which he was not.
Thank you, sir. Do any commissioners have any questions? Okay. All right. Seeing none, Mr. Calvinisi, we really appreciate you taking the time. So you can go ahead and disconnect the call at this point, and staff will be in touch with you with more information.
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Okay, you too.
And then we're doing number 34 now on the phone.
Ms. Thompson is a teacher.
Okay, I'm going to conference them.
34. Yeah, is it Erin Ashdown?
Oh, so she can't. Mr. Ashdown, this is the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, and I'm going to conference you in. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Okay, Anna Dave.
Mr. Kristen is on the line. Thank you.
All right, thank you. So, Mr. Ashdown, good morning. My name is Nathan Sosa. I'm chair of the Oregon Government Ethics Commission, and I want to begin by thanking you for taking the time to speak with us this morning. We do appreciate it. So you understand how this is going to go this morning. We're going to begin with a staff report. Our investigator is going to be discussing her preliminary review report with us, and we may have some questions for her. And then at that point, you'll have an opportunity to say anything that you would like to add for the record, and we may have some follow-up questions for you. And then you can, at that point, go ahead and disconnect the call, and we will proceed on with our discussions and deliberations, and staff will be in touch with you with the result. All right?
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much. Staff report, please.
Chair Sosa, commissioners. Item 34 is the preliminary review report for Erin Ashdown, one of the five commissioners for the Port of Port Orford. In a meeting of the Redevelopment Committee on December 17th...
We lose somebody.
Okay. Mr. Ashdown, are you still with us?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, very good. Do we have Commissioner Siskum and
Anna Swanson
online, too?
Anna?
Commissioner Siskum is here, thank you.
Okay.
Commissioner Swartune, are you there?
No.
Okay, we lost her then.
all right. Call her back.
Yeah. Do you want to
see? Just do the same thing.
Okay, just a minute, gentlemen. I'm going to try to conference in our other commissioner.
Anna.
I believe you got disconnected.
I did.
Okay, I'm going to conference you back in now.
Thank you.
Okay, I think everybody's there.
I'm here.
Dave?
Mr. Fiskum is here, thank you.
And Mr. Ashdown?
Yep, I'm still here.
Yep.
Okay. Very good. All right, thank you. Ms. Myers, please.
Sorry about that interruption. During this meeting on the 17th, the commissioners voted to move into executive session. They acknowledged they could not find and did not cite the statutory authority. But in the video, it appears one commissioner says it was about litigation and the strength of our case. Pending litigation could be a permissible topic under subsection H, but in this case, no legal counsel was present. Written attorney-client communication could be allowable under subsection S. But in this case, we do not yet have any information to indicate whether the respondent's discussion fell within this provision. Commissioner Ashdown and Commissioner Thompson both were relatively new to the Board of Commissioners. In his response, Commissioner Ashdown indicates that the purpose of the executive session was to discuss sensitive legal information. He does not indicate whether that information was written, verbal, or secondhand. He also writes that he hopes that this all will be a very good learning experience for them. We recommend the commission open an investigation as further investigation is needed to determine exactly what the purpose of the executive session was, whether that purpose was publicly announced and permissible, whether they were acting on advice of counsel in convening the executive session, and whether they made any final decisions.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions for staff? Okay. Mr. Ashdown, this would be your opportunity to add anything that you would like to say.
Like I said in my statement letter, you know, I'm still fairly new to the ins and outs of, you know, local government, and, you know, thinking back on it now, you know, we were actually there to discuss, you know, a redevelopment project of ours, and, you know, we were actually acting as a redevelopment committee at the time. So that, you know, I know is a tricky area, you know, when you're acting as one group and then switching to another group, so... I don't know exactly, you know, if that was the right way to go about it. I know that the information that
Commissioner Webb brought to the group was time sensitive, and I mean it did involve all of us, but I mean it's looking back on it now, I mean it could have been, you know, I mean I don't know if it needed to be announced all at once, but it was time sensitive, so I don't know. I think he thought at the time that it was the right way to go about it. So, I know that we didn't state the ORS number. So, I mean, I know that was an issue. But other than that, I mean, again, I think it was just kind of a, you know, a technical issue with switching from one group to another, and we kind of stumbled a little bit there.
All right. Well, Mr. Ashton, we do appreciate your comments. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Ashton? All right. Seeing none, sir, you can go ahead and disconnect the call at this point, but we really do appreciate you taking the time to speak with us, and staff will be in touch with you with further information, okay?
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that was quick and painless.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Hey,
you have a great
thank
day.
Thank you so much.
All righty.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you too. Bye.
Quick and painless.
Okay. So we don't have anybody else on the phone. So the only one we didn't cover was item 33, Layla Thompson.
And I'll skip the general summary. The only difference here is Ms. Thompson, who also is acting as the secretary but was relatively new to the position, is while Commissioner Webb and says written communication, Commissioner Calvinese says time-sensitive information, Ms. Thompson says it was more that it was information they learned from SDAO counsel by telephone. So she admits that they did not call counsel while in the meeting, and he was not there.
All right. Discussion.
I have a question.
Mr. Burson.
So I have a question for you, Amy. Okay. So these same five commissioners all of a sudden kind of turn themselves into another committee. I mean, are they allowed to do that? I mean, aren't they still just this board of commissioners for Port of Orford? I mean, when all five are still there and all five are, you know, on the committee?
Well, I mean, they become a committee of the whole, right?
Yeah, I think that they were a subcommittee, then they became the commission. Can they do that? Fortunately, we don't have to decide that.
I can add to that.
But
I guess I'm just asking because the... Because would a, I guess the subcommittee would have the same rules in executive session as
yes, it would. Yes, it would.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think that, I'm sorry, may I please? As I'm sure Senator Starr knows, because he's from Washington County, the Washington County Board of Commissioners is also the Board of Clean Water Services. And while they'll go sometimes, okay, now we're this, now we're that, they still provide all the requisite notices and such.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think they could have noticed a meeting and said, we're going to be acting as a committee from 8 to 9, and then from 9 to 10, we're going to be the commission, and that would be perfectly fine.
Okay.
It's the same members, but notice is not the commission's jurisdiction.
But they would have a problem, though, just kind of switching off and on during the meeting, or could they, in the meeting, say, you know, now we're this, now we're that. You know.
I think it would be a
could
notice.
They jump back and forth?
I think it would be a notice issue because people need to come.
Which would be a public notice issue with MBS.
Yes. Okay. Who are we coming to hear, right, and when are they speaking as which body?
Can okay. I ask for clarification on that? Even though it's not in our purview, are executive sessions held to the same public notice standards as a regular meeting? Should they have been posted in advance for the public? It's just helpful to know.
Yeah, there. As a matter of fact, there's more notice requirements for executive session because and they're different depending on whether it stands alone or if it takes place within a meeting. But there are specific notice.
You can't just ad hoc decide no, like today we're going to suddenly be in executive session and announce.
If something inadvertent comes up, you can't, an emergency. You can't plan to have an emergency.
But then you still have to notice, you still have to announce the reason and make that public.
Right.
Even though I know we had some disagreement in a previous executive session whether it had to be public or not, but I think what we train to is that, that announcement would be public. We would tell the people in the room
it wouldn't make
why
sense
we're going to executive
otherwise,
session.
Otherwise, because the purpose of it is to let people know what you're going to speak about and what they're being excluded from the public meeting for.
Okay, I was just curious about, because I think there was an intention of having some public members on this, but there isn't any, so there was no difference between the two bodies, and, you know, it was the same participants.
The commissioner.
They just, all of a sudden, one thing, and then they were another.
Right.
So, okay.
Ms. Myers.
One thing I wanted to add that kind of goes to that is it a public meeting before they moved into exec? When they realized they couldn't find any of the citations, they discussed what their solution moving forward was that in future meeting notices, they would simply list all of the citations.
The shotgun approach.
This group, they need kind of some education and training on this issue.
Yeah. I think that was clear with phone calls there. I think you were asking for that a lot. Yeah. So.
Okay. Any other discussion? All right. I will entertain a motion then. We'll do these individually, I take it, one at a time. So, all right. So, item number 30, I will entertain a motion.
Move.
Okay, yes. Commissioner Stark.
Yes. I move that we proceed with the staff recommendation.
Okay. So moved. Any discussion on that? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Sortoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fitchum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Item number 31. Entertain a motion.
Move that we proceed with the staff recommendation.
Okay. So moved. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Sortoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Item 32. Entertain a motion.
Yes, I move that we proceed with staff recommendation.
Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Sortoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Item 33. Entertain a motion.
I move that we proceed with staff recommendation.
Okay. So moved. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Sortoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
I move that we proceed with staff recommendation on item number 34.
All right. So moved. Roll call vote.
Commissioner Edwards?
Aye.
Commissioner Fiskum?
Aye.
Commissioner Keene?
Aye.
Commissioner Sortoon?
Aye.
Commissioner Starr?
Aye.
Commissioner Burke?
Aye.
Chair Sosa?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Good.
So on to item 36 on our own motion preliminary reviews. Staff report on this one, please.
Sure. Wait.